Hey, Mike Berthel.
Hi, Scott.
Oh, God. You got to be corny every time.
What are we doing now?
Whatever. We're going to do the ads that make this podcast awesome. And
I make it awesome.
Give you the ability to listen to it, and they keep the lights on a little bit, even though this one light's blinking.
It's kind of flickering, yeah.
Let's talk about some of the sponsors here. First off, our longest sponsor, Wolf Nation. WULF Nation. Wake up, live free. My good friend Richie, he is an entrepreneur trying to make a clothing company that's all about. The message is just to stop living check to check. Stop being paid by someone else. Go out and do your own thing. You know, like if you're going to make a podcast and have very minimal listeners, that's what you do.
Yeah.
But
it'll eventually happen.
We are super happy to have Wolf Nation aboard. Checking them out on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. That's WULF Nation. Wake up, live free. Apparel for everyone. Grannies, dogs,
kids,
old white men,
young white men.
Doesn't really matter, but that is Wolf Nation. Coming up on our other sponsors here, let's go to the craft beer world.
Yeah,
one of our favorite things. Mr. Joe Fisher and his awesome company, Manskirt Brewing.
Oh, delicious, man. I was there a couple weeks ago.
Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey, in an old bank building. They try to really create seasonally inspired ales. Check out Joe and his beautiful Manskirt, hence the name. Mm-hmm. This week they got the Sussex Big Brew Festival, which we did a podcast from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was a hell of an evening.
So that's this Saturday coming up. They also have Drink Tank Vacuum Insulated Stainless Growlers back in stock. I saw pictures of them. They look really cool. I'm a big growler fan. If you like growlers, come get fills all over the place. They got really nice ones. And next seasonal is coming up very soon. A 7% Weizenbach coming there. So we should be going there soon. I know we've canceled a few times on them and had some scheduling issues, but that is Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Give them a follow. Going down to another brewery down in Central Jersey, that would be Demented Brewing. Okay, Demented Brewing Company. What can I say about Demented? That they're just awesome. They got an awesome tap room, 16 beers rotating around, a new seasonal every Sunday, something different for everyone going on. Check out the awesome mural on the wall.
Yeah, they got the full setup there. It's a great place to hang out, look around at the brewery. They got all their games going when it comes to the brews. Everything I've tasted there has been delicious.
Yeah, so we're working with them. We did a podcast from there a few weeks ago. Go back and listen to that episode. I'm working on a possible YouTube show idea with them. So, but
sadly, it will not be called Fudge Packer Imperial Stout.
No, but DementedBrewing.com. Yesterday, they released Vulcan, their Mango Habanero IPA. And this week, they're going to be releasing Lust, our chocolate stout. And the sour stout coming out. Bottles of Sucker Punch, which is you're part of the bottle club, or you just want to buy a bottle. It's a sour blonde ale aged in Chardonnay barrels is available.
That sounds amazing, man.
Yeah, it does. DementedBrewing.com. Finally, Trivia Revolution, where they are fueled by craft beer. Every week I host trivia at Tap House 15, where is also the next Verbal Shenanigans comedy show on September 1st. But at Tap House 15, Trivia Revolution, every week play trivia with your friends, win brewery gift cards from Demented, from Manskirt, from all different breweries all over New Jersey. You could be in last place. You can be in last place and still win the prize. You can answer a question. What is the one-eyed Jack? You can say the Ace of Spades.
No, only I can do that.
Yeah, only you could do that. But you could still win prizes. It's a lot of fun, so check them out. Every week there's a bonus item on the Instagram or the Facebook. You bring it, you get 5 points. It's a ton of fun, so please check out Trivia Revolution. Follow them on Instagram. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. This episode coming up, we have World Mustache Champion. Yeah, mustache.
Yep.
Nice and furry. Give it a listen.
Hey, this is Adrian Hayes. I'm an adventurer, a speaker, a business coach, a rock band singer, and a few more things. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
why not?
You literally, like, you warm up with Droopy Dog. I'll be like, you do a sound check. You're like, beep, 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 beep. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Well, welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast.
Episode something or other. Don't even know at this point. 100-something episodes, Mike Berlow. It's getting crazy when you realize that, like, we did the Big Brew Fest. That was, like, a long time ago already.
Yeah, we were saying earlier about,
you know,
a couple
keep
of
talking.
Years.
I got to turn the air conditioning off in case I hear it.
So,
you're alone, buddy.
I'm alone. Yay. Look at me. Oh, what can I tell our listening audience? Actually, I have a somewhat of a big announcement. My girlfriend will be moving in with me in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, snap!
Yeah, it's a going, that relationship thingy.
Oh, man, she's fucked. So,
well, that's why I asked her to come in.
Yeah, she's dead. She's dead.
Scott, no.
These are usually the moves a woman makes right before they die.
I don't remember you living in the woods. That's where I live. Just
so,
get here.
So no more glory hole apartment for her then?
No. As long as she can get out of the lease, no.
So she's coming up your way then?
Yep. And got more room, bigger bed. She likes it up here. You guys are closer.
Oh, yeah. Us, yes, we are close. But, yeah, that's a big announcement.
Yeah.
So what things do you think that she's going to have to get used to living with you? Like, what are some things, like, give us some quirks and insights that you think, like, yeah, that works when you're alone, but that ain't going to work with a woman. And, like, I'm sure she knows your quirks, but I don't know if she knows everything.
I'm trying to think if she does.
Like, if I mean, was your roommate, right? Uh-huh. If I was your girlfriend, tell me some things I would have to know about you.
Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Bad habits, good habits.
I guess I get a little too excited come sporting events and all. I am that neighbor that yells at the TV when something goes right or wrong.
Oh, you mean like that time you went and watched the Redskins?
Let's go! Let's go!
Game!
Game!
As you marched around Fox and Hound, like running around, high-fiving some other
Redskins
fans.
Yep.
It's fine. I like it.
I am one to talk to myself sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
You mean like all the time?
No, not all the time.
I didn't watch your movie.
And sometimes I like my quiet time. Yeah. The whole, yeah, I know I'm here, but...
Yeah, I think that's the big adjustment with living with someone. Because when you get together, you're there to see each other, mm-hmm. you know? But when you are in a home setting, you want your space, you want to mess around on your phone or your computer, mm-hmm. you want to watch something, you want to just... not talk sometimes. Just
exactly.
Sit. So that's always a hard adjustment or you know, an adjustment to make. You got to find each other's comfort spaces. Mm. What else? Do you...
I'm guessing I'm a TV guy. She's not really used to the whole sometimes. It's like I want to sit in front of the couch for 3 hours and not think about anything.
Right.
You know, when it's like... Beat Bobby Flay is on. It's like, I don't want to watch this. I don't care. There's six more episodes to go.
So you're like a marathoner, kind of. Like, you watch...
If it's something I like, you know, sometimes it's a show I always meant to see, and sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, Star Trek Next Generation, yeah.
What we should do is maybe in a few weeks check in with the girls and have them on about some things that really pissed them off about living with us.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I brought up they should have their own podcast, just the fun of let's see what you talk about.
Yeah. I mean, but then again, if our podcast can barely entertain people...
wouldn't it be sad if the girls had like 6,000 listens?
Oh,
they talked about shoes! What the...
But anyway, I'm happy for you, buddy.
Thank you.
As we move on to the bigger and better things here, but we are we are back and we are ripping and roaring. If you heard our last episode, it was wasn't a comedy themed episode really. It was Lilo Brancato from Bronx Tale. So if you didn't hear that, go back. We actually just recorded it. We're doing a double on double deucer today.
Mm-hmm. Double Hunter.
Double Deucer. Got an interesting guest on the cast tonight. We have the one of the world mustache champions, national mustache champions.
You think he walks around with like a belt and he has to defend it?
Yeah, it'd be cool if like he had like a belt made out of like hair. Like
he walks around like Brock Lesnar. You can't beat this.
Speaking of Brock Lesnar, oh my god, that man is—he's a fictional character. He is something out of Game of Thrones. He's like what I would imagine like years ago, like the people were farming and then they see a ship pull up and like they just release Brock onto land to take over. Like, wow.
I see it kind of like a video game character where it's like you're going up the ladder in Mortal Kombat and you're like, oh, I got this. And then this character walks out and you're just like, block, 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 block. How do I beat this thing?
UFC 200, pretty entertaining. Didn't think it was great.
No.
Some of the fights were like... The Edgar fight, very boring. I mean, it was they're just like both very
they're
good.
They're both technical guys. They're both feeling it out. And Aldo, you can't take down, we found out. And just Edgar really tried like six times, and he just pushed him away, and then it's back to dancing.
They never really got into it.
Yeah.
The Lesnar fight was my favorite. It was just funny watching that beast. You know? And it was all right. The event was okay. Not bad, not the best. But 202's coming up. Like, I love how 201, like, everyone's like,
No.
I just want to see Connor.
No, I don't want to fight on that. You go on USA 201 and you'll like it.
But, yeah.
$4 billion they sold for.
$4 billion.
Did you hear what they initially bought it for?
No.
Three guys, which include Dana White, in 2001... bought it for $2 million. And they sold it for $4
billion. That's unbelievable. So is he no longer...
No, part of the deal, they basically said they know he's a guy who can get this stuff together and do the media and all that stuff. So it was like a part of the deal. If we're buying, he sticks on as that role.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not going anywhere. So as long as they keep running it the way they've been running it.
And the WWE could have bought them, and apparently they said the reason they didn't buy it was Vince McMahon couldn't stand the fact that he couldn't fix the endings.
Vince McMahon, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll have him on next.
Maybe live.
So I had told you... on the last episode, I had done a show in AC, and that was pretty cool. But I ran into... So we did the show, Bob Levy and Lilo Brancato was kind of cool. And had a couple good shows since, but this isn't really comedy-wise. But I'm working the other day. I'm working a soccer camp. And I go down to the Polish deli, which I always get like lunch from. And I'm getting sandwiches, and this very tall, muscular black guy, older guy, maybe like 50-something years old, comes up to me. He's like, hey, brother, what's up? I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? And he's like, he's like, are you a football player? I'm like, no, I coach soccer. He's like, oh, soccer. He's like, oh, you should play basketball. He's like, you ever fight? I'm like, no. He's like, oh, and right away I could tell he's some kind of athlete or something like that. And but then he starts asking me, he's like, oh, I work at the gym at time to time across the street. He's like, I'm a personal trainer. I'm a boxer. He's like, I'm a former world champion. And I'm like, really? And, you know, so I'm talking to him. And so right away I could tell he's a boxer because he's like his words are kind of like slurred. Mm-hmm. He's kind of repeating himself over and over again. And any of these boxers you see that were like in interviews, that's exactly how they sound. They're kind of, you know, they've been hitting the head a thousand times. So he says, I'm a former world champion, an Olympian. Okay. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, what's your name? And so he's like, yeah, my name is Al Cole. They call me Ice Cold. And I'm like, okay. So I look him up while we're there, and he's talking my ear off. And he's talking to me, and he's like, oh, he's... soccer guys come to the gym, like maybe I can get you hooked up with them, blah blah blah. And I'm like, I kind of gotta go, I have to go back to camp and work. And he's talking, but sure enough, he was Alfred Cole, better known as Al Cole, nickname was Ice Cole, and he was a let's see, what was it? He's in the box, the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. Oh. He's he had 54 fights, 35 wins, 16 wins by knockout, 16 losses. So that man's taken a lot of punches.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Olympics. Throughout his career, he appeared in movies with several big actors such as De Niro, Will Smith, Voight, Jamie Foxx.
We should ask C if he worked with Al Cole.
I know. So now he's a trainer and whatnot. But it was funny because he's talking to me, and he's got like sauce on his face from the sandwich, like not even.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, come with me to the gym. I'm like, I can't. He's like, all right, I'll walk outside with you. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's never gonna let me go. And so he comes out. And he's like, which one's your vehicle? I'm like, oh, the truck over there. He's like, yeah, you sure you can't come to the gym? He's like, all right, what's your number? I'm like, all right. So I don't even write it down. I'm like, yeah, you know, 732, blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay. He's like, tell you again. And I said, okay. And so I'm like, all right, nice meeting you, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for calling. You know, like, thanks for calling. I mean, nice meeting him.
Yeah.
So sure enough, 10 minutes later, my phone rings, and I let it go to voicemail. And it's him. It's him. Like, hey, Scott, it's Cole, the boxer you just met. He remembered my number orally. When's the last time you remembered anyone's number? This is a guy who's probably been hit in the head 10,000 times, and he remembered my number. I'll play the voicemail for you real quick if I still have it. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Well, they said Tyson, even as whacked out he was in punch, he had an amazing memory. Like, he remembered stuff from, like, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, so it was pretty interesting. And he was a big dude, man. He's my height. He's definitely still, like, pretty lean. And, I guess I forget what it is. He had a couple heavyweight fights. What's under heavyweight? I forget. I read this before, but I don't want to bore people by reading them.
Is it welterweight?
Maybe welterweight. But he, world heavyweight title. IBC world heavyweight title. Oh, cruiserweight. He's had the cruiserweight title for a long time.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty cool. 50-something matches, man. But so you're going to hear him when he talks. He's like, tell me the name of the group, the soccer group. It's a club team, but okay. Here it is.
Yeah,
it's,
okay, so it's
hello? Hey, yeah, hey, this is Ice Cold. The fighter that you were just talking to, let me step out. The fighter that you were just talking to at the restaurant. The company name is TSF.
That's the
Tango Sierra Foxtrot. It's a company that recruits these guys, and he said they brought 7 people over here to start training. Some from the, we think from England and Spain and.
Yeah, we're from
Portugal, Spain, all that?
I'm from Spain.
People from Spain. Yeah. The other people from where?
England. So the coaches, most of the coaches are from England.
He's having a full conversation with your voicemail box.
Sorry, I didn't call him back, man. I just texted him. I said, I'm coaching. Thanks. I got your voicemail. I'll listen to it later. I'm like, well, this guy. You could tell by his voice, man. He's just kind of like, but it was kind of a pretty funny experience, man. I don't know. I was laughing.
What's your address?
What's your girlfriend's name?
Scott, it's ass cold outside. Open up. Scott, we got some soccer players now from, what is that place? I don't know, Sicily. Yeah, Sicily! Scott, open up. We got Sicilian soccer players.
You want to go get a sandwich? You want to go get a sandwich together?
Oh, that was a good sandwich. Remember that sandwich, Scott? They have pastrami and ham and that cheese. What's that cheese, man? I don't know, Asiago? No, it wasn't no Asiago.
Swiss cheese, you got cheddar cheese, you got provolone cheese.
Ah, that's provolone, man. Scott, open up. Let's talk about the provolone. Meanwhile, that guy could kill us in like 2 punches.
Oh, yeah. Those guys don't lose their swings, man.
No.
Speed and memory and like motor skills, yes, but they still got that power for years afterwards. I mean, look at some of the Bernard Hopkins. Like, I think he's still fighting. You know, it's amazing.
He don't care.
No. But that was something strange that happened to me today. So let's get to our guest here.
All right. Sorry, yet.
All right, Mike Berlew. So we had some technical difficulties.
Okay. Beyond our control.
So we're going to see if Keith Harbrick, who is a big-time mustache champion.
Mm-hmm. The biggest.
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest. Will be gracious enough to give us an interview. We lost the file. It got corrupted.
Mm-hmm. It was some of my best work, too. It's a shame.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But we lost the file. So we're not going to pretend that we're doing this interview for the first time. We're going to acknowledge it.
What they'd like to grow a mustache.
Yeah. Coming on the show is Keith Harbrick, also known as Gandhi Jones. He is a, I guess you would say, a professional mustache grower, a world champion.
He's a mustache world champion in both freestyle and dolly.
So let's see if we can get him on, and we'll apologize profusely here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really anyone's fault. It just kind of happened. I'll take the blame for it.
Well, if it's nobody's fault, you can't really take the blame.
I guess. All right, fine. It's my fault.
Hello?
Is this Keith, a.k.a. Gandhi Jones?
This is he.
How's it going, man?
Been a long time.
It's been a long time since we talked.
Oh, I know.
Keith, first off, apologies from us. I guess our power went out and the file, like the batteries died on the recorder and the file just got corrupted and I can't save it. So welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
Always a pleasure. I've been trying to get this Skype thing to work and I changed the password and I updated the software and everything and it keeps telling me, oh, it can't connect or the can't recognize my user information or something. Like I can log into my account, but not into the app.
Yeah, I don't know. Like every time I rang you, it would say connecting and just never connect. So I rang you like maybe 6-7 times. I don't know. Skype's a weird. I don't know. I know a couple guys who podcast with Skype, and like it seems like every episode they have like 900 different problems, but. It's okay. We've got you on the line now. We've got
good
you
job,
on the line.
Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back to the show. For those of you who don't know, we messed up the we didn't really mess up. Technology messed up the interview, but we're talking to Keith Harbrick. Harbrick, right? Is that how I say it?
Harbrick.
You're right. Keith Harbrick. And
Harbrick. Yeah, it's German.
You have a lot of things that under your little profile, but you are a freestyle mustache champion. You have also what else? Dali mustache. What are the
three time Dali mustache American champ? Even though with the German last name,
ooh, Harbrick.
Controversy.
Yeah,
in America, it's Harbrick.
Yeah, exactly. Though I don't have a drop of German blood in me, to my knowledge. It's just an accident. I ended up with the ugliest name on the planet. But, three-time freestyle mustache world champion and the Dali mustache. So I won North American champion and then twice national champion. There's slightly different competitions run by different people. So I just sort of lumped all the Dalis together, you know, as a three-time nationwide champion. In American champion, I call it. So,
all right. So Keith,
and then the go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your statement.
Oh well, I was just gonna say the this year the we have a national beard and mustache championships and another national Great American Championships competing with that. So I'll be going to the Great American if I can. To compete, and I'll probably go try freestyle mustache again since I've proven enough with the Dali mustache here.
So that's how Trump is going to make America great again. Yes. Mustaches,
yes,
that makes sense.
Yes.
Well, he'd have to start growing on himself. I don't think that'll ever happen. He's not cool enough to grow a mustache.
I grow the greatest mustaches. It's the hugest mustache in the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he were to grow a mustache, you know, he would say, oh, listen, I'm going to grow the greatest mustache you've ever seen. It's going to be huge. You're going to love it.
I know, because I just said it.
Et cetera, et cetera.
I think that's almost verbatim what you
believe
just,
me. Yeah. Believe me. Trust me.
So where
I know from mustaches.
Last time we talked, you told us this mustache thing started really early on in your life. Can you please tell that again? Where did this whole mustache interest or even just the balls to wear a mustache, when did this start?
For me?
Yeah. Well.
Well.
No, I was talking to Mike.
You mean like how the competition started or how?
No, just in general. At first, like you said, you had were able to grow a mustache really early on in your life.
Right. So when I was 13 years old in seventh grade, my mustache started growing, and I just let it. And even though some of my classmates said that, well, you know, I can grow a mustache too, but I shave mine off, you know. I didn't, and I grew it, and I was the only kid in the seventh grade with a mustache, and then in the eighth grade, my beard started coming in, and I mean, all of this is assuming I wasn't lied to about my own age, my own birth date.
Funny it would be if you
maybe
like,
I was always older.
You're like one of those Dominican pitchers who's like, says they're 33, but you're like 39.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some way, I suspected that, but yeah, I've been growing. You know, well, the thing is, I hit puberty when I was supposed to hit puberty, so I can't be too far off in years. But yeah, so I'm just an early bloomer with the facial hair, and I just kind of let it go. And then on my 15th birthday, in the ninth grade, I got an electric shaver for my birthday, and I shaved off a full beard.
Wow. Now, did you take advantage of having a mustache and beard and like try to get into like R-rated movies and stuff?
Not into movies, but I lived in Las Vegas during a certain time. Let's see. I think that was in the 10th grade. And I would go to the Circus Casino and play blackjack, 16 years old with a beard, and flirt with the older ladies there. Play the $1 blackjack table, spend a couple hours there, you know, and talk to waitresses, come by, offer a drink. And I wasn't really into drinking, so, but if I were... I would have and could have and probably should have.
So these...
But no, I was just into playing blackjack, and it was fun, and nobody thought to card me or anything. And it was hilarious.
So these mustache competitions, like, when's the first one you did? How did you get involved in it? And, like what goes into, like, what wins you the prize of, like, the champion? Like, what is it they're going on? Are they going on thickness? Are they going on... creativity, like tell us all about that.
Okay, well, I discovered mustache wax around 2004, and I started playing with it and waxing up my stash, just doing simple curls, and I started going to work with that, and you know, I get a lot of compliments, and then some people were asking me once in a while, have you ever been in any mustache and beard competitions? And I never heard of them before that, and the answer was always no. But I kept getting asked that, you know, over time. So finally, I remembered it one time when I was at home to look up mustache competition, you know, just to see what would come up. And I saw some links to growers contests here and there, like you shave off at the beginning of a month and at the end of the month, you see what you got, kind of like how November is. I was looking at those, and then I came across a link to the World Beard and Mustache Championships. And this is back in 2007. So I read up about it, and it happens every 2 years in a different city in the world. And the next one coming up was just a few months away in Brighton, England. So I looked at the categories, and there's six mustache categories and seven partial beard categories and five full beard categories. And for each of the mustache and the partial beard and the full beard, there's a natural mustache, natural goatee or natural full beard, and then there's all these different traditional styles, the Hungarian, the Imperial, etc. And then there's the freestyle option, which is the one that doesn't fit in the other categories. All of them go to freestyle. So freestyle mustache is what I signed up for, and I decided to do something creative with it. And just before I discovered that, I started doing a little bit more elaborate things with my mustache. I started separating them into cat whiskers, And I decided, well, I can show up to the World Championships and do cat whiskers in the freestyle mustache category, and I would qualify, and it'd be fun. And I love going to England, so I signed up and I booked a flight and I went. And there were seven of us competing in the freestyle mustache category, and I won first place. And the cameras and the audience and everybody ate it up, because every time they point at me with their lens, and I'd give them the cat hissing face, like that, with my cat whiskers. They just loved it. And that picture of me with doing that ended up in online magazines in like 15 different languages all over the world, and really took off. And then I decided to come back in 2 years after that. So that was 2009 in Anchorage, Alaska. And I again signed up to defend my freestyle mustache world title. And this time there were only four of us competing, but I didn't have any ideas going in. I didn't even know which category I wanted to be in. So I had sort of a little goatee. I could have done a musketeer partial beard with, or I could have tried Dolly mustache or Imperial mustache. But I decided, there are fewer competitors in freestyle anyway, so I'll go for that. And I just had to come up with an idea. And after playing with it for about an hour and a half in the bathroom in the mirror, sitting on the sink counter, I decided to come up with a fork and a spoon. So a fork on one side and a spoon on the other. And then I ran across the street to a pub where I borrowed the chef coat and chef pants and a couple utensils, like a giant whisk and a slotted spoon. And I ran back and came up on stage, and I'm Chef Gandhi all of a sudden. And I won. I won again, first place.
I just like how that restaurant just gives it out. They're just like,
I gave the restaurant a big plug when I was on stage too. And that was the place where everybody goes to eat afterwards anyway, to party.
That's funny.
So it was great of them to help me out with that. And then 2 years after that, I went to Norway, Trondheim, Norway, for the World Championships again. Nice. Again under freestyle mustache, and I won first place again for the three-peat, and I did hearts, one heart on each side of the on each side of the mouth, and I got first place again. And then 2 years after that, I went to Germany in 2013, and I made a cat, not just the whiskers, but a whole cat. Maybe not a whole cat. It had four legs and a tail and a head, but one eye and one ear. So it was a flat cat. And I got third place out of 20 competitors, which is pretty good. It's the most competitors I've seen in that category. So, I got four trophies from the World Championships overall, doing all these different things. And then the National Championships, the first Nationals were in 2010, and I made my mustache into a pair of scissors. And this time there were only four categories, just all mustaches and all partial beards and all full beards and a freestyle category, so which is a general freestyle category if you have mustache or beard. Anyway, I entered in mustache, and there were 41 mustaches there competing, and I got third place with my scissors.
Now, what are the
And the second... What's that?
What are the competitors like when you first walked in? Are they like really mad that like you just kind of walked in and did this? You never had competitions before. Is it like super competitive, or is it just we're just out here having a fun time?
I'm the one that's a little more competitive, but I just talk about what I can do and how you can, get the best angle at a trophy, which category to select. And, I pay attention to details. I help other people out, if you just clamp this stray hair over here, and if you try to even it out on that side, this and that. So I'm really into the competitive aspect of it, because they say bearding is a sport, some people say.
Wow.
But for most people, it's not really that way.
Think you'll ever see bearding on ESPN? Like after like the World Series of Poker, like bearding
coming up next on the Ocho.
I think there has been something like that somewhere.
And really?
Possibly on ESPN. I think they might have covered one of the
that's awesome.
National championships or something like that. But there was also Sports Illustrated. Penthouse showed up to the second annual National Beard and Mustache Championships, and they interviewed some of us, and they got me in a one of the photos in the February 2012 of issue of Penthouse magazine. There's a picture of me with my whale mustache.
I mean, that would be really that's a great image, me looking through my Penthouse magazine and then turning to you with a big old mustache looking at me.
Yeah, I can officially say I'm a porn star now.
Yeah. But, well, that was the top, definitely the top looked at picture of that issue.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it might have been a little bit out of place. You know, an article about the national championships in Penthouse, but it's entertaining, and I'm not complaining really.
No,
but yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I didn't win with that because I entered in the freestyle category instead of the mustache category this time because, I mean, my mustache was shaped like a whale, right? But I also had my, like a short cropped beard that I shaved down into horizontal stripes, and I got some blue paint and I painted between the stripes. So that was the water with the waves, the stripes of hair and the water. And I had a little blue cocktail umbrella, like those little parasols that you put in the drink. I had one of those sticking out of the whale's head, and that was the water spout. And I made the whale swim by rolling my tongue across my underneath my upper lip, so it would kind of like wiggle around and swim. So I had a lot of fun with that. And let's see, the third national championships were in Las Vegas, and I did the cat there, but it didn't do so well. There's some guy from LA showed up with a bigger mustache, and he's got like a 3D printer that he makes molds out of, and then he puts them in his mustache and waxes it, and then blow dries around it, and comes up with these geometric designs. Mine are more artistic.
Son of a bitch!
Those LA guys, yeah, they use PEDs to enhance their mustaches.
Can't wait till that's banned, and like the first guy gets flagged for 3D sculpting.
He's the current freestyle mustache world champion now.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, national champion. Yeah, he's just following in my footsteps.
So
he's been studying me, I think. Like some of these other cats, they look on my pictures on Facebook and online in general, and they sort of study me and figure out what I do and how I do and come up with their own way of winning.
It's a change in dynasties. It's like when the 1990 Cowboys came around, and like everybody's pissed off, but they kept on winning, and it's like we all hated them, but what can you do?
Yeah. So, you know, but like, you know, I was the guy that showed up out of nowhere myself, and I mean, it's not like you have to qualify in another competition to qualify for a bigger competition. It's not like that. You can just, anybody can show up into any competition, really, if you can afford to travel.
So I can just show up with a shaved face and enter a mustache competition, technically.
With a shaved face? I mean, I don't know what category you'd fit into.
Retro.
You could be some kind of hipster, be like, you just don't see it, man.
You gotta use inner planes to see my mustache.
You gotta have something. But some of these competitions, they have these categories sometimes once in a while. Not everyone. But there are categories for like a build-a-beard or build-a-stash, like a fake beard or fake mustache that women get into these things. And they can craft it out of any material, any size, and, you know, with a big outfit to match. And, you know, they come up with some amazing creative ideas to celebrate facial hair. And, yeah, the 2013 championships. The World Championships had a little whiskerina contest the night before, so there is an official world champion for that.
So Keith, and, the question is why do this?
Why?
Yeah, why?
You know, I felt kind of invisible growing up. You know, so I needed something to stand out with. So when the mustache started happening, I just saw no reason to shave it and to conform to everybody else. I just didn't see the point. I didn't see the appeal of dragging a knife across my face either. So,
Damn, man wants me to cut my stash.
Yeah, so that was part of, you know, me to express my individuality and uniqueness. And then later on, I mean, that was just seventh grade. Then it continued on, and then by the time I hit my senior year, I was voted most unique in my senior class.
Yeah.
So I wear that as a badge of honor.
I finished second in class clown, but the guy who was in first place is in prison now, so I feel like I'm the winner.
He's like that L.A. mustache guy. Yeah. He's in prison all just bragging about it and everything.
Nope. I was class clown.
Yeah. You know, if that clown is still in prison, you know, that might be his survival thing.
Stay back, I got a knife on my face.
From what I hear, I mean, you just have to have something going for you if you're going to make it through prison. You know, have to be either funny or strong or something. I guess.
So, Berlo, you would die in prison.
Yeah, I shouldn't have shaved before I get arrested. That was stupid of me.
But what's dating life like being a mustache competitor?
It has its ups and downs, just like any other person's dating life. There are a lot of women who are into facial hair, and it feels like there are even more women who are not into facial hair. They will let you know it too. You know? They'll stop me on the street and pose for pictures with me and selfies and this and that and ask me all these questions, and they're just fascinated, even though they'll never see me again. But they just want to know everything, all about the mustache, and hear all the stories and everything. And then at the end, they'll say, "Oh, mustaches aren't sexy, but I really like it. You know, thank you for letting me take pictures." And, oh, okay.
Now let me ask you a question. If I set you up on a blind date with a girl, how you styling that mustache to go into that first date? Are you going to go into some kind of special style, or are you just going to go au naturel? What are you going to do?
Okay, when you ask me how my mustache is going to go into my first date,
mm-hmm. Like how you sound.
If you phrase it that way, that is an indication that the date is going extremely well if my mustache is going into her. But just in case you're asking me something else, I would say, you know, if I show up and she hasn't seen me and doesn't know if I have a mustache or not, well, who knows? I mean, she could be one of those people that will never go for facial hair, or she can be more open-minded, or she can be somebody who's only into people with facial hair. But I think it's, you know, now it's easier to have facial hair and find somebody who's into that sort of thing. I mean, it's 2016 now. Back in 2007, it wasn't quite like that. It was pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, like mustache lives matter thing is really taking on a whole
yeah that whole hashtag movement. Is not really moving as much as other ones.
But
we say all facial hair is valid.
I agree. I mean, I wear a beard and whatnot. The mustache is a much bolder move. But like, what do you have on the horizon? Like, what's coming up for you as far as the mustache world? Any events or competitions or whatnot?
Yeah, the Great American Mustache and Beard Competition is coming up in September. I'm going to try and go to that. And then the next World Beard and Mustache Championships are in Austin, Texas.
Ooh,
next year, during the first 3 days of September. And from what I'm hearing, there are 800, maybe 1,000 even people that might go and compete at this thing.
Damn.
It's going to be huge.
Huge.
But yeah, it's probably going to be the biggest facial hair contest ever, anywhere in the entire history. The World Championships have been going on every 2 years since 1990. And then, it was 1990, 1991, and then every odd year after that.
No,
these competitions draw about 300 people at best. But this one coming up in Austin next year, I mean, all the Americans that can't afford to travel to Europe or don't have a passport to go to Europe, they're saving up for this event.
That's it.
Hopefully all the Europeans will be able to come. I mean, it'll be expensive for them, not to mention, you know, the weather in Texas is not something they're really used to up in Germany.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It's going to be big.
That's really awesome.
Big. They that's why they have to spread it across 3 different days, because to get it all in one day is... looks like it's going to be impossible.
Now, the biggest category really are the beards, not so much the mustaches.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the beards thing. I knew a guy who was in a beard.
Yeah, lots of beards.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, they're like the snowboarders. They're just assholes, you know, not like us as skiers with mustaches.
Yeah. Do people style their body hair too?
Do they style their body hair? You know what? Okay, so yeah. I've seen people do it at Movember, for example. You know about Movember?
Yep.
Yeah, so I've seen people show up on the stage at the Movember Gala where they're not just growing a mustache on their face, but I've seen them do two different things on their chest. One is where they have a bunch of chest hair, and then they carve out a mustache into it. So like a negative mustache, you know, like a blank mustache shaped spot on their chest.
Yes.
And then they have seen people do the opposite, where they shave everything off and just leave a hairy mustache on their chest with the curls wrapping around the
nipples. I like that.
So I've seen it both. I've seen that happen both ways. And also at the World Championships, the last two times, there was another category, a new category that was entered. It's called the trend beard or the fashion beard. And what it is they can grow their beard only about an inch long. And then they can sculpt it with a little precision blade or something like that and make these little paisley designs and stripes and different shapes, you know,
nice.
On their face.
I think I can that. I don't know if mine's an inch long.
Yeah, and these are really elaborate ones. So somebody showed up at the World Championships with one of those, and there were only three contestants in this category, and this was in Austria last year. And he had his little, lightning bolts on his cheeks. And he's trying to do a Flash Gordon motif. And then he took off his shirt when he was on stage, and he had his chest shaved down to a lightning bolt on his chest.
This is a huge Chargers fan.
You remember that, Mike? That was crazy when
I can't believe I grew it that far, man.
The judges, they were like these middle-aged hairdresser ladies. They weren't really into people taking their shirts off on stage. They're more conservative that way. But you know what? He got third place because there were only three contestants, and I mean, so they had to give him a trophy anyway for showing up.
Yes. Go ahead, Mike.
So that's the story with that. He was this English dude.
All right,
people do stuff with their body hairs, and you know, I'll tell you another story. We have it here in Seattle, where I live, the Seattle Erotic Art Festival, and every year they take submissions for all kinds of erotic art, hardcore, softcore, and everything else. You know, anything erotic. So I have a photographer friend that was doing nude photo shoots with me because I'm a model too, and we decided to do this thing where I style up my mustache, and then I take off my underwear and I style up the other mustache.
Woo!
Mm-mm-mm.
And we'd get two mustaches, top and bottom, in the same shot, and have the mustaches match each other. And she sent one of the pictures of my bottom stash, I think, to the Seattle Erotic Art Festival, and they didn't accept that one. They took one for female models instead.
Aww.
But I was recognized. I ran into somebody who was doing makeup for the event, and she saw all the submissions and everything, and then she met me years later, and she saw my mustache, and she said, "You look familiar." And we figured out where we might know each other from, and then narrowed it down. And finally, it turns out that she recognized me based on the mustache that I had on my face, based on what she saw the other mustache
look
like, without seeing my face.
Yes.
So she just recognized the mustache without having seen my face, and she knew it was me. And that's after several years, too.
I guess that makes you a dickhead.
So, Yeah, pretty much.
That's really freestyle.
I can shape my it is. And you know, I have shaped my mustache into a cock and ball, too.
Oh,
nice.
But the top stash, I mean, yeah. I have a German biker cop outfit that I wear during the Pride Parade.
Yes.
So I do the cock and ball mustache. I waltz around the parade and everything.
That's great.
They love it.
All right, Keith, here we go.
I do all kinds of designs.
Yeah. Let's go through some mustache facts. A little quiz here. A mustache is capable of observing how much percent of its own weight. Is it 15, 20, 25, or 30?
Depends on the wax you're using.
Performance enhancers.
Some people use, most people use mustache wax, but for the bigger mustaches and more for the beards, they use this product called Got to Be Glued. It's like this spray cement. I think that's what it is, like spray glue or spray cement, and it holds really strong and takes forever to wash out. But I've seen people like sculpt all kinds of giant beards, you know, that go straight up and out to the sides, and then they hold on all day.
Well, so technically the answer was B, but still.
That was the best.
Well, there's a technical answer.
That was the B.
What's the answer? Tell me.
It was 20%.
20% of its weight. Okay.
Yeah.
But of course, when you put product in it, that has its own weight that is added to the weight of the hair, too. So it has to hold its own weight if you're putting product.
How many follicles does the average human male have? Is it 4 million, 5 million, 6 million, or 7 million?
Those are my four choices. I'll go with 7 million.
Yeah, me too. I'm going 7.
It's 5 million, gentlemen.
God damn it.
Roughly 3 times as many as the gorilla, but still less than the chimpanzee. I heard that before.
Yep. All right, go ahead. Next question.
Who is remembered as one of the most influential mustache Americans in history?
Teddy. Well, Burt Reynolds is the first name that comes to mind, or Tom Selleck.
Well, Tom Selleck, he's got 4,000, his mustache has 4,000 Facebook likes, but that is not the answer. The correct answer is Dr. Martin Luther King.
Okay. Yeah, he had a little stash.
Oh.
What band in the 60s gave away cardboard mustaches with their album?
Band in the 60s?
The Beatles?
That is correct.
Nice. You know what's funny?
I'm thinking of the Sgt. Pepper outfit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it was.
You know what's funny? Tom Selleck's mustache has more followers than our podcast does.
Yeah. We got to ask his mustache what he does.
Wow.
Now, this is one we
brought up. Didn't he
shave it off? I haven't seen him recently.
I don't know.
Okay. Some people with mustaches that are known for mustaches for years, even decades, shave them off. Yanni shaved his mustache off. Weird Al Yankovic shaved his mustache off. I think Tom Selleck did. People just give up. Maybe they think they see all this mustache and beard stuff happening all over the world.
Yanni, more like Poon-Yanni.
You went there.
All right, go ahead.
All right, one more question. What disease does mustaches prevent in most human beings?
What disease does mustache prevent?
I'm guessing like a respiratory thing.
No.
Nope. Mm. Chapped lips. Mm.
Skin cancer.
Oh, what?
What?
How?
It How prevents so? the sun from it prevents the sun from penetrating the lip. Right. The lip.
So see, you're doing a good
You mean
deal.
The upper lip is like more absorbant of harmful UV rays?
I guess more the sun can't penetrate that area where the beard is protecting it, or the mustache.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, having a mustache is a good filter because you can eat a bowl of soup with it while straining out the vegetables and solid parts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's lovely. That's a great image. Keith,
you should go into competition with a bunch of chunky soup in your mustache.
Who can hold the most soup?
Do the soup strainer demonstration. Mm. And judges will love
put a bowl underneath like your mouth, and like whoever has the most soup in it loses.
Exactly.
But anyway, Keith, it's been a real pleasure having you on, man. And thanks for doing the re-interview, I guess we should say.
What's your availability next week?
So we lost. Actually, we had never
been. Yeah, tune in next week. I'll do this again and again every Monday for you. Right.
So what's it like having a mustache?
This week in mustache.
But thank you so much for coming on. Real quick before we go, where did the name Gandhi Jones come from?
Oh, that was a Halloween costume from 2003. I decided to dress up as a pimp Gandhi.
Oh.
Because I already had a mustache. It was kind of like a mustache that Gandhi actually had. This was before I discovered the wax, so it was just a simple stash. But I have a shaved head, and I'm a vegetarian, and I'm a pacifist, and world traveler, and a lot of these things that Gandhi is. So after having done the you know, the Halloween thing with a pimp Gandhi with all my bling and everything, and big round sunglasses with rhinestones around them and all that stuff, the cane and everything. I decided to, you know, adopt that as a stage name.
There you go.
Nice.
So Gandhi Jones, peaceful pimp. And it just kind of, it seems to roll off the tongue pretty well. People like the name when they hear it. So it has a good ring to it.
It's awesome.
And I decided to go with it. But I was actually thinking, if I were to win the Dolly Mustache category at the World Championships, when I didn't last year, then I would actually legally change my name to Salvador Gandhi.
There you go. Keith, if people want to check you out, or like if they heard this interview, they want to see your mustaches or send you a tweet, where do they go?
Well, I am on Facebook, and they can message me on Facebook, and I can show them some stuff there. If you just Google mustache and under images, you'll eventually see me on there. If you Google freestyle mustache, you'll see me.
There you go.
Yeah, look under the images. Even if you go to Wikipedia and check out the World Beard and Mustache Championship, there's a picture of me on the page with my cat whiskers on there.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, just Google Gandhi Jones, and you'll see some of the things that I've done.
All right,
so
man.
Just search under my name, you know, with Halbrich and Mustache, and you'll come up with something.
Yeah.
Just do a little digging, and you'll find things. I don't have a proper website or anything. Oh, one more thing. There is a full-length movie, a documentary. Well, maybe not full-length, but 50 minutes long. The documentary about the World Beard and Mustache Championships from 2009.
All right.
Anchorage, Alaska. That's the time when I came up with the fork and spoon. And it follows me and two other world champions, the Chinese Mustache Fu Manchu world champion and the Freestyle Full Beard world champion from that year.
Well, that's awesome.
The guy from Alaska.
What's the name of the film?
And it's called Tash Alaska. All one word.
All right.
Tash Alaska. Yeah. And it was filmed by a couple ladies from London. And you can find a trailer for that online and possibly a link to be able to watch the movie. And it's pretty cool because you can see a lot. It's not just the three of us, you know, with our lifestyles, but you see a lot of other videos of other people and other competitors and get into the whole groove of things. It's pretty fun.
That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for popping on, and we'll be in touch. Maybe we'll have you back on after you come back from the next competition.
All righty.
All right. So that was Gandhi Jones, Mr. Keith there. Pretty interesting yeah. Dude. I think you should enter the contest.
You think there's a category for the Hitler? He's just walking there, that little thing. Hey,
I don't, because I don't think anyone's going to give an award that says best Hitler on it.
Still best, be awesome.
Best Hitler. Mike Berlo.
Talk to me.
Bear news. Bear news. You know, I like to incorporate bear news. I think I'm going to bring it into... You know, I'm going to have a little thing that says, Bear News, roar!
Bear News with Scott Brennan.
Yep. So, you know, I like the Bears. You know, I like the Bears. Mm-hmm. For those of you who have never listened, which is most of you, I like Bears. I'm fascinated by them. This is a good one. This is a good one. A 61-year-old, speaking of boxers,
okay,
former boxer battled a black bear. His second punch connected. If you encountered a 300-pound black bear, your first instinct would likely be to punch it in the face. But that's exactly what 61-year-old Rick Nelson did when a mother bear confronted him in Ontario. Nelson, a former featherweight boxer, maybe this was Vice Call. I'm Vice Call. I punch bears.
What kind of bear is that? It doesn't look like a Kodiak to you. No, man, that's like a brown bear or something. That's cold nosed bears. That ain't no brown bear.
So a former featherweight boxer was walking his dog on Sunday when a black bear cub poked his head out the path and yelped. Aww. Aww. I sat down on a log and the bear cub poked his head out of the shrub nearby, Nelson told CBC. It was so close I could touch it. I let out a yelp because I was scared the heck out of it. Because, yeah, it let out a yelp because I scared the heck out of him. I knew right away I was in trouble, he said. It was calling for mommy. Nelson said he could hear the bush crashing and knew the mother was coming at full speed.
He looked around for rocks or sticks he could use to defend himself, but found nothing. The mother bear was soon standing on its hind legs in front of him. Nelson tried to punch the bear on the snout, but missed, hitting it in the teeth instead and tearing up his hand. The bear hit back and scratched Nelson across his chest and his face. It's like the Revenant all over. I knew it would swing first. With its left. But it would come.
I scrolled things. That's a left turn of bear we got in front of.
It would really come with his right, because most bears are right-handed. Nelson. So this guy, he's like scouting the bear on tape. Like, he leads with his left. Nelson landed a solid second punch, delivering an uppercut to the bear's snout that made her start snorting blood. The cub squealed and started to move away, and Nelson knew it was a critical moment. The mother would either walk away and follow her cub or stay and fight him. The mother bear turned around, and it was snorting blood. It looked at me, and I thought, oh no, here it comes. But it just turned back around and walked away like nothing ever happened and followed the cub. So I really lucked out there. Despite his encounter, Nelson said black bears typically aren't dangerous. Sometimes they get a bad rap. And then there's a picture of him with a little scratch on his face. And
wow, that scratch ain't even nothing, really.
No. I guess it didn't get him too well. But
that prepped him for his fight with Brock Lesnar.
I swung my right because I know bears are right-handed.
Rocky, you gotta take down this bear.
I put him in a rear naked choke. He tapped.
You gotta eat boo-boo and shit yogis.
In other bear news, you ever hear of the cocaine bear, Michael?
No, I haven't.
Here's a little news story. This is interesting. Bear news, people.
Its legend has become part of one of Kentucky's great conspiracies.
His name is Cocaine Bear, aptly named given his demise, and on display here in Lexington after spending years on the road. LEX 18's Michael Burke has more about the bear's life.
Michael Burlow. Oh, wait. Let's go to Michael Burlow.
Hey, I'm out on the field right now. Big news here. Cocaine Bear got off the heroin. We're so very proud of him. You know, he was really hitting the needles too much, but he's getting his act together and all. He's not fully clean yet, but things are well. And all. Back to you, Steve.
There's something very fitting about this stuffed bear being mounted on the back of a pickup truck. Because for Lexington's Kentucky for Kentucky store, this relic has been quite the pickup.
Well, we just had to pay the shipping.
That was all it took to get this piece of bluegrass history back from the Nevada desert.
There's more to it.
Since doing so, business here has picked up.
Just like the bourbon, we have people coming from all over the world to see this famous cocaine bear.
That's right. Don't adjust your set. Mr. Hyler did say...
Look, cocaine bear, a.k.a. Pablo Escobar.
Cocaine bear. The story dates to 1985, when Andrew Thornton, a true Kentucky blue blood...
He looks like a former Steelers linebacker.
Tennessee.
Shortly after Thornton fell to his death with all the cocaine strapped to his body, a black bear popped up dead in the Chattahoochee Forest in Georgia.
And you would not believe the cause of death.
From an overdose on cocaine that was dropped by Thornton.
75 pounds worth. 31 years ago, it's worth estimated at $15 million. Soon after the bear's demise, he was stuffed and sold to the great Waylon Jennings, who did not know of the story. But he was a collector of such
items. Old boy.
This item he would gift to a friend.
Got a bear with cocaine.
So the guy parachuted in with a, died with a bunch of cocaine on him. The bear came, ate or snorted all the cocaine, overdosed, and now he's a like a monument.
Here. And then the guy made the thing to the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Bear, as he's now known. Was then sold to a pawn shop, located by chance and free of charge.
Today they just wanted pawn to stars. Get rid of it. They were over it.
And now Witt and his staff cannot get over the interest Cocaine Bear has brought to their store and to the city of Lexington. Maybe it's because the Thornton-Escobar connection is part of the musings in the book titled The Bluegrass Conspiracy. And we know how everyone loves a good conspiracy, not to mention Kentuckians who love their history.
I mean, that story, you know, all took place here. And
this guy looks like he's been hanging out
and
with Cocaine Bear.
Now the story is being rewritten right here on Bryan Avenue at the Fun Mall.
Eventually, Cocaine Bear will have his own section. And we'll have Cocaine Bear gear And you can, you know, you can come in, get your photo taken with them, and then you can leave with a t-shirt.
Yes, indeed. The Bear in the Pickup has become quite the pickup for the Kentucky for Kentucky store. Covering Cocaine Bear in Lexington, Michael Burke, Elliott.
Michael Burlow. Yeah. So
I think we should rename the podcast Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, yeah. Cocaine Bear Cast. but yeah, a pretty interesting story. You know, you're gonna have people visiting, like trying to hit the bear real hard to blow some.
Do you think somebody's like, you know, got a little pocket knife? Let me cut in there. Let me see what got in there.
Oh, cocaine
sawdust.
That's some good cocaine bear.
It would have been greater if constantly other animals were coming along and, like, eating the bear. And they just had a whole forest full of cracked up animals.
Like a food chain of cooked out animals.
Then the vultures got the bear and they started going nuts. Then they started fishing in the water. Then the bears had the cocaine in it. They jumped into the boats. It was insane.
Like the whole community got addicted to the fish.
Sadly, another bear ate the fish, and then we had another cocaine bear. We never caught that one. He's still running around. He hasn't slept in 12 years.
And that's bear news.
That's Michael Burnham from KRXY.
Bear news, baby. Bear news. Yes. So what do you got, Mike? What do you got?
I'm trying to think what I got. I guess a cute little 4th of July story. So my parents were up for the entire week. Mm-hmm. And we took her out to different places. We brought them up to the 9/11 Museum. You ever been up there?
No, I want to go one of these days.
And it's really something you should do. It's a very...
Alex's dad helped come up with some of the design for the Forever Pool.
That thing is awesome to look at. I mean, you go in there, it's so somber. It's such a unique feeling looking over stuff. I knew a guy who perished in it. They have a... At the end, they have, like, the pictures of every single person who perished, either from the plane or in the towers, and they have, like, a board where you can just pull them up, and they'll bring up different pictures, and they'll have audio from the loved ones talking about them. It's a very somber thing, and it's kind of sad when you look at, the trucks that are just crushed in, and the stories around it.
Yeah.
But, I decided a while back, I set up a comedy gig.
At the World Trade Center Historical Museum.
Yeah, they weren't up for laughs. It's something weird.
Tight crowd that night. Tight.
Come on, people. What's the deal with airplane food?
Couldn't get it. No. I bombed.
Yeah. But so I took my parents. I was up in Springfield at the Comedy Cove to see one of my shows. Sure enough, I was dead on stage for like 6 minutes. I couldn't get anything going with that crowd.
And why is that? What do you think?
I was a little bit off, but I don't think it was crazy. They just didn't hit that first joke, and there it was like chuckles here and there. I got them at the end with the bus joke, but it was just like, that's the real moment. I'm like, I'll say a joke in like dead silence, and I'll just turn around and wave to my parents. This is what I want you to see. This is my dream, Mom and Dad.
Your son's made it.
I mean, they were kind of tight with other people, but it was still that moment where they like told me, like, oh, we really like the show, and I'm like, oh, that was kind of off. No, they were tight for everybody. Yeah. Not as bad as me, Mom.
I still haven't invited my parents out yet, because I know that one time, I mean, not the one time, but the time they do come, I'm going to bomb or eat shit or be a bad crowd. I have a... is there still more to this?
No, go ahead. Oh. Go ahead.
So the other night, I have a similar... not a similar story, a funny comedy story. Other night, I hosted at the Oak Bower, right? And I host, show goes good. Whole time there's this table of black girls, like six black girls. I'm having a great time with them, like the whole show. Every time I come out, I throw something their way, and I'm having fun and whatever. long story short, show's over. We've cleaned it all up. You know, I'm sitting, and then me and KP Burke, Rich McDonald, Garifo, and John Trumbull are just sitting down having a beer.
Awesome.
This is 10, 15 minutes after the show. So like 15, 20 minutes later, two of the black girls come walking in. Mm-hmm. And she comes in and we're like, hey, what's up? She's like, I just wanted to tell you. She's like, you guys were funny. But she looks at me and she goes, but you were really funny. You handsome. And that's from a black girl.
Ooh.
And I was like, this is one of those moments. If this happened to me normally, it would be me by myself and no one would believe me. But all five of them were like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, oh, thank you. So, and it was like after the show, so they must have came back in to like they must have talked about it and came back in. And like,
this is a plot to Bronx Tale too.
Yeah.
You can't go out with her.
It was so funny. So the whole night, it was just like, we hung out for like an hour afterwards. And it was just, whole night we were just talking about it. It was hysterical and really random, but yeah, that was pretty awesome, because like I said, usually it'd be just me by myself and be like, yeah
guys,
I swear
it was a black girl too. I know, unbelievable.
So yeah, I mean, you got anything else today? I got the ESPN body issue came to me in the mail.
Ooh, let's check it out.
Yeah, I don't even sign up for the magazine. It just showed up in the mailbox, which I get worried about because sometimes, like, when magazines come and then all of a sudden you're paying for it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite is Vince Wilfork's in the ESPN body issue. Let me find him. He's somewhere. He's not hard. Well, I guess he is. Right? Mm-hmm. There's Von Miller. Damn magazines.
Hmm.
I don't know. There he is. Here's Will Fork.
The beer can.
He's gigantic. This is great. This is the best one. A big man, man.
Oh,
it's funny. Funny though, this body issue is kind of taking off. This has been like 8 years now, 8-9 years they've been doing like the body thing. We should do our own, like, just all, like, comedian's body issue.
KB Burke.
Yeah.
I sit in a truck all day.
Joe Fernandez. Michael Burke.
Tom Mongelli. He just puts his hat over his form.
Doug Max with the yarmulke over his head.
I work hard for my body. And I make you work hard for it, too.
Yeah. So, that's really it for me. I don't really have too much else. How about you, Onion?
I'm trying to think. I've just been kind of relaxing, doing my thing. I'm trying to think if there's any. Oh, so now the new craze going around. I'm not sure you heard about this. Pokemon Go.
Yeah, please don't tell me you're rocking it.
I'm not rocking it. I downloaded it just to look at it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's see if you got any Pokemon in the area. All right, this guy's walking on water right now. I don't see anything that would point to it.
Oh my God,
Scott, what's wrong with you? Did you take all the Pokemon out of the area?
Yes.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Like, the second you got this property, you claimed all the Pokemon.
So, yeah, I see a lot of people posting about this. I guess you actually have to physically walk around and go
find it? Yeah, that's the weird thing. Like, sometimes they'll have clues of where to go, but apparently, like, one guy ran into the middle of the street because it told him.
I can't wait till they're, like, in people's backyards and, like... Like, who puts them there? Like, the company puts them random places?
It's an app. I guess it's just, like, some kind of randomization where, basically, it's supposed to show up on the map, and you go up to it, and then it will turn to your camera, and you're supposed to flip, like, the ball thing to catch them.
Uh-huh. So, as a nearly 40-year-old man with a Pokemon app on their phone, how do you feel like, life's worked out the way you thought?
I was never into Pokemon. I will This is one thing where I will be a mature 40-year-old man and say, I don't get this thing.
But yet you're missing Monday Night Raw right now.
Oh, yeah. That's like, I haven't sat down and watched a Monday Night Raw in God knows when, actually. Oh. I'll check into it from time to time, but none of the stuff is any good. The funny thing is, like everybody said, it's kind of like UFC. They had to bring back a guest character, basically, to get people excited.
Yeah.
They had to go, oh, The Rock showing up tonight. Yay! Hasn't wrestled in 15 years. Woo!
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I see a lot of people posting that stuff. Like, a lot of people posting it. I guess it's like the number one selling app right now.
Oh, it's free. I'm sure there's something where you go, well, if you want to find them better,
yeah,
this tracker is only $3.99.
Yeah, they'll get everyone addicted, and they'll be like, yeah, $3.99, or pay this to find a Charizard or a Pikachu. You know, like, I don't know. I don't think I can do it.
Did you
catch one?
Well, they do the practice one, but I haven't, like, walked around and tried to do it. Maybe we'll make a bit of it where I try to find one, but... Got him in the middle of a graveyard. There's some weird looking characters.
You know what I'm gonna do?
Blocking me from a Pokemon.
I'm gonna send you out, and I'm gonna podcast, and I'll call. You gotta like do like a man on the street, like looking for Pokemon.
Scott, I'm in Camden. I don't know why you sent me here. There's a lot weirder things than Pokemon here.
There's a lot of dark Pokemon around here.
He's got that ice cold boxer. He's here. Yeah, I know, Scott. Scott, you remember the sandwich? He wants to know.
What'd you ask me? Did I ever what?
What was like a cartoon or something like that you're almost embarrassed you got into when you were a kid?
Almost embarrassed. Trying to think. I mean, I was a big Ninja Turtles guy, big Ghostbusters.
Those come off as cool, though.
Yeah. Can you let that beast out?
Bear news.
In Barrett. I watched Doug on Nickelodeon. I liked that. I'm trying to think of one that maybe I was like a little too old at that point, but I can't really think of one. I mean, there's Nickelodeon cartoons. I watched a few of them, but I never really liked Rugrats. I liked Doug. I liked Hey Arnold a little bit.
Did you watch Snick?
Like Snick at Night. I remember like Are
Saturday
You
Afraid- Night Nick.
Yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Are You Afraid
that
of the Dark?
That was awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I really have to think of that. Nothing's popping in my head like embarrassing one. A cartoon. How about you?
I'm trying to think myself of something. I mean, I kind of watched like the Disney Afternoon. That was a little long. I think it was like barely
last year.
I like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Don't you mock me.
I watched that a little bit, I think, from what
I
remember.
DuckTales.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Chip and Dale Rangers.
That's all I remember. But, no, that's about it. I'll think of one. But let's keep it nice and short and sweet and beautiful. And we want to thank, I guess we can call him Gandhi Jones. That's his stage name for coming on. And it's good to be back, buddy. We're back full force. So anything to promote, Berlu?
It's
always something we do two episodes in a row.
Yeah,
but.
I'll just promote our Twitter, BS Comedy.
Yeah.
You know, talk to us, people.
Yeah, give us some suggestions.
Yeah.
Or come on the show, call in or something. I'm going to do, this will be out next Monday. So, yeah, I'm going to do, I'm on the show that you were on, the Street Show in Somerville. It's a street show on Wednesday the 20th, so that's next. So when this comes out, that'll be 2 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be on Wednesday the 20th. Great lineup. I can't remember everyone. I know Kevin Israel, Gerald Benford, a bunch of great comics, put it that way. It's in the street. Berlu did it. Usually gets a big audience out there. So that's one of the shows I've been really looking forward to in the summer. And I want to promote the Verbal Shenanigans, the new location. It's going to be much more low-key kind of room. I'm trying to get a lot of comics working. Hopefully we're going to do it like maybe twice a month is the goal, but we're going to start... You know, once a month, and we'll be all on there. I'm just trying to get a good rotation of comics in there, and it's going to be a lot more low-key. Free. It's free, so those of you who don't want to come out, I understand when it's like, you know, money for dinner and ticket, but this one is free. All you got to do is, like,
have a drink or get some food, you know, hang out. And this one should be a good one. Okay, I tried to really load it with comics that we've worked with before. So that's really it. That's really it. Life is funny.
Andrew, family camping trip.
Family camping
trip. Crank the radio. Strange smell.
Talk to Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, talk to the Cocaine Bear. But anyway, life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Ice cold, baby.
I'm looking at this Cocaine Bear. He's definitely a lefty. And remember that Cocaine Tiger we fought a couple years back? I don't think it was a tiger. Yeah, it was a tiger. I told you it wasn't a cougar. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door. You leave the world behind.
Leave us a review on iTunes.